It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A national campaign to unite poor people of all colors and creeds is formulating. Events were held here in West Virginia and Kentucky to build support and momentum.
If we be lifted up, somebody gonna see this. Because there can't be a resurrection. There can't be any change until we see it.
That story's coming up. But first, the Ohio Valley's opioid crisis has given rise to a new health threat. The region now has some of the nation's highest risk areas of outbreaks of needle-borne disease, such as HIV. Health experts say a needle exchange is a good defense, but exchange programs face public opposition. That was the case in Bourbon County, Kentucky, where local officials had twice rejected the idea. As part of the Ohio Valley Resource Series Rural Risk, Mary Meehan visited the county as people again considered a needle exchange.
Kentucky's HIV/AIDS educator Greg Lee starts the meeting on a somber note.
How many of you have known of someone who's died from an overdose?
Most of the people in the crowd raise their hands. The meeting is at the Bourbon County Health Department. It's just next to the county's drug rehab, and it's down the hill from a playground where used needles are found far too often. For 2.5 years, there's been fierce opposition and 2 failed votes over a needle exchange. But all the key players are gathered one more time.
My name is Mike Williams. I'm the county judge executive of Bourbon County. I was determined we were going to vote.
I'm Cecil Foley, magistrate from Bourbon County. I was dead against it, to be honest with you.
My name is Joe Turner. I am the founder of Recovery Warriors. Going into the meeting, I knew it was going to be an uphill battle.
Early speakers showed Turner might be right, with many saying addicts were just looking for a handout.
Sell the needles to their friends.
And this kind of program takes them away from having to do that.
I'm not sure if it does.
But amid the cynicism, there is sympathy as well. When Magistrate Foley uses the word druggies, some in the audience push back.
We are enabling the druggies to break the law. That's illegal.
These are not druggies. These are human beings.
Foley told me later that that caught him off guard.
No, I was surprised that they came back that hard. Yeah, I know they're human beings. I mean, I've got a nephew that's in jail right now for using drugs.
As the meeting continues, Turner, who works with addicts every day, speaks next.
I am a recovering addict. There's some people standing in this room that have arrested me more times than I can count.
And now he's helping others, including Foley's nephew.
They want help. They will bum a ride, they will take a bicycle, they will hot foot it here to get a clean needle. They beg me for help.
The tone of the meeting starts to shift as folks like Magistrate Don Minky share personal tragedies.
I just lost a brother-in-law that OD died. I just lost his son. Just lost his son, 24 years old. He'd been missing for about a week, and they found him last week, OD, in a motel room.
At this point, Magistrate Foley seems to be having second thoughts, but he says a needle exchange program is still a tough sell for his constituents.
If this passes, and if I vote for it, I'm expecting you all to go out into the public and help us explain why we approved this issue. Out in the county, I've not found anybody that's in favor of the needle exchange.
The room goes silent as Judge Executive Williams calls for the vote.
Judge Williams?
Yes.
Esquire Foley?
Yes.
Esquire Mason?
No.
Motion passes.
After the meeting, Foley and Williams reflect on why the measure was approved.
It's more a safety issue, and it's to prevent the spread of disease and to save money.
Williams offers this final advice to other leaders.
And just continue to focus on the facts.
The needle exchange program begins in May. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Bourbon County, Kentucky.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. Chance of rain or snow this morning. Gradual clearing this afternoon with high temperatures in the 50s. Chance of rain tonight with lows in the 40s. Chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow with highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. A national campaign that aims to unite disenfranchised populations across the U.S. held events in Kentucky and West Virginia late last week. As Glennis Board reports, the meetings are part of a two-month tour designed to highlight social inequality and build on a movement begun 50 years ago by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Local groups in Kentucky and West Virginia worked with national organizers to plan the events. Several similar rallies and meetings have been held across the country in the past few weeks to generate momentum around what's called the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. A local organizer from West Virginia, Reverend Ronald English, explained, "The campaign is an extension of a campaign Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. began 50 years ago."
So we're able to kind of build on what would have been the momentum that Dr. King had in mind with the original Poor People's Campaign. I'm glad that that's been taken up.
English says he's hopeful that some of King's objectives can be fulfilled now, 50 years after his death, with the support of grassroots organizers. Other speakers included local people who've experienced poverty growing up and who continue to experience poverty even though they have full-time jobs and educational degrees. One speaker in West Virginia was Amy Jo Hutchinson of Wheeling, who helps organize her state's Our Children, Our Future campaign. She reflected on her support for what teachers accomplished during a recent work stoppage, but noted her own frustration that the same momentum is not behind the campaign for poor working-class people in the state.
We're fighting for middle-class people because they want better health insurance. Why aren't you guys fighting for us?
Events also included discussions led by co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, Reverend Dr. William Barber.
Being poor isn't a sin, but poverty is.
At a stop in Harlan County, Kentucky, he called for progressives to get behind a movement to help fight against voter suppression laws and other policies which he believes are keeping poor people of all races poor.
You might be blooded, you might be bruised, you might be broken, you might be poor, you might be without a union, you might be hurting, you might be black, you might be white, you might be brown, you might be gay, you might be straight, but you say, if we be lifted up, somebody gonna see this. Because there can't be a resurrection, there can't be any change until we see it.
The Poor People's Campaign is in the process of organizing a 40-day protest, including a series of actions meant to highlight racism and call out political leaders who are not helping to fight poverty. The campaign is also involved in a number of Get Out the Vote actions to get more people to the polls for midterm elections. The nationwide action, which will include marches and other nonviolent demonstrations, begins on Mother's Day. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glennis Board.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.